Hey, it's Arrow inside the BobBrandon.com studio. BobBrandon.com. More than ever, your website needs to be creating you some business. It's a new age of business, working away from home, putting your product out there for people globally. But if your website looks like junk, it's just not going to happen. You need a leader. You need somebody who's going to stand beside you the entire way. BobBrandon.com. We are unplugged and totally uncut with Marissa Corvo from NBC's The Voice.
I'm doing great. How are you?
Fantastic. We're waking up to a brand new Monday. We're in America. We've got a lot of freedom. And we've got your voice and your performance on NBC's The Voice. I think life is pretty darn good right now.
Oh, yes. I agree.
You're about ready to go on a journey today where you're going to talk to a lot of radio talent across the nation, and I'm sure you're going to hear a lot that your voice, you are the next Celine Dion. Have you heard that before?
Oh my gosh. Wow. I'm speechless. Thank you. She's been like a huge idol of mine forever and ever.
I was at the Verizon Wireless Amphitheater when she was on tour with Michael Bolton. She was the opening act, and Michael Bolton came out and he said, look, I just met this girl and she's brand new. I hope you enjoy her. And I just cannot believe what she has done to the music industry and what she's doing to the people that love music.
Yes, she's incredible. I mean, she's just really like, as far as what I've heard, I've never met her, but I heard that she is like the kindest and the sweetest human, you know, ever.
Does that put the pressure on you? Because, I mean, we're all going to catch the memories, but at the same time, we're also going to catch your inspiration. Because, I mean, when I heard you sing for the very first time on NBC's The Voice, I literally said, this is it. She's the winner.
Oh, my gosh. Thank you so much. That's huge. I mean, there's so much talent this season, so I really appreciate you saying that.
What is it like for you to be in that talent pool? Because, I mean, it seems like this show keeps getting bigger and bigger and bigger.
I'm just really honored that I was chosen for this season. I've auditioned for this show several times in the past four throughout the years, and then I moved to Los Angeles from New York, and I auditioned probably three times in like a year and a half time span. And I think just getting on the season of, especially the quarantine season, which was like, you know, just such a different season for everybody involved. I was really honored that I was chosen to be able to participate in this season that, like, pretty much nobody's going to forget, you know, and especially, like, us as the contestants, like, we won't ever forget it because of what we had to go through, you know, with COVID and just, you know, having to quarantine, you know, 10 to 12 days, you know, just sitting in a hotel, not even being allowed to leave the room. I mean, it was pretty intense, but, you know, I think we were all like, we all fought harder, you know, because of what we had to go through.
Boy, you talk about that season. I was blessed with the opportunity to talk to the people that went from the knockout rounds forward. And you're right. There was something in their conversations. And I it's something that I will cherish for the rest of my life because their journeys, because we were all in a place of uncertainty. And it was amazing to be in that moment. And I'm so glad you guys at least get to be on that giant stage because they didn't get that stage.
Yeah, you're right. Yeah, you're so right. And so at least we were lucky. You know, we knew that as long as we followed the rules and we were quarantining and we were, you know, following all the right protocols that we would have that opportunity. So, you know, I think for us it was more of a fight, you know. On.
Well, you're a fighter anyway because you're from Saginaw, Michigan, and there's just something about those of us that are from the north, because I'm from Montana. We just know how to handle things and how to walk through life with straight shoulders and a back that's strong.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, I'm not from Michigan. I think that was Ryan is, but I'm from Staten Island, New York.
Well, you're from New York then. Same story.
Yeah, same thing. Yeah, but totally. Yeah, we're tough.
And why do you think that is? It can't be just because we can survive a good cold winter blast. I mean, there's just something about the attitude of people from the north that, and the thing about it is, though, is that no matter how tough we are, we're also very compassionate about all people.
It's true. Yeah. You know, we're tough as nails, but we're soft on the inside for sure. You know, we're ready to help anybody. Like I've talked to so many tourists in New York and, you know, they're like, you know what, New Yorkers are the best people. You ask a question to somebody, like, they'll actually help you, you know, like, you know, if you don't know where you're going. And I've heard that tons of times, you know, I play at restaurants all over Midtown and they that's what people say. They're like, New Yorkers actually are the best people. Like, you know, we might, like, to face value might look like we might, you know, we're tough, you know, but I think, you know, when you get to know us, we would give you the shirt off our back.
So, because I'm down here in the South now, I grew up in Montana, I've been in the South for 35 years, and you being a vocalist and stuff like that, there has to be something inside your heart that has said, why is it that New Yorkers sound like New Yorkers and Southerners sound like Southerners? What happened in the process as this nation was building that created these different accents?
Oh, gosh, I know. My accent's pretty thick. oh, my goodness. You know what? That's a really good question. I mean, it's like, oh, I'm Italian, so, you know, you look at, like, Italy, for example, and my grandparents, they're from Palermo, and they spoke, like, Sicilian, you know, which is a dialect. So, I mean, every country, I think, kind of has their thing. You know, I don't know. I don't really know. I guess, you know, you just kind of, like, adapt to whatever's around you over the years.
What was it like to grow up in a family that supported your dreams? And the reason why I bring that up is because I always ask my mom and dad for, you know, can I please take guitar lessons? No. Can I please take piano lessons? No. And I think that's the reason why I got into radio, because I craved music so much. And what was it like to be in that situation where you were given the opportunity to believe in your dreams?
Yeah, it's true. Thank you for asking that question. Number one, I thank my parents every day for the sacrifices they made for me. My father was a firefighter, FDNY, and a 9/11 survivor. And my mother was a stay-at-home mom. And, you know, they didn't have much. And when they saw the talent in me, they literally stopped building a house. They were building a house at the time when I was young. And they stopped building the house so they can pay for my lessons and really cultivate my talent. And they didn't build that house for 12 years. So, you know, I thank them every day for that, because if it wasn't for that, I wouldn't have cultivated it at such an early age and be, like, basically where I am today. You know, they gave me every single opportunity, and I'm really thankful. I know a lot of people that are like that, and, you know, that tell me all the time, you know, my parents gave me voice lessons. I wish my parents did this and they didn't, because they didn't have the money. And I feel terrible, but I was lucky enough that I actually had that blessing. So I count my blessings every day, trust me.
Wow. I hear a story like that, and right away, because I've been blessed with the opportunity to talk for 6 years now with everybody that's been on The Voice, and the thing is that I as a broadcaster, I do everything humanly possible to make sure that people do not forget who you are, because once you're off that screen, what are you going to do to make sure that you stay in touch with those who are quickly becoming your fans?
Yeah, it's such an amazing question, and I'm so honored for all the followers and the emails that I've gotten throughout this whole season and this process, and a lot of people reaching out to me and telling me about their coming out story and how they're Italian too, and, you know, they came out to their family because of my blind, that episode, obviously. I told my story about how I came out, and my parents at first didn't accept me, and I was, you know, I went through all these things anyway. But, I intend to, you know, become even more of an activist than I am now, and really fight for rights, you know, for my community, and also to put, you know, some new music out there. And I'm in the process and talks with some people right now that we can, you know, hopefully get the ball rolling on some new stuff, you know, and maybe hopefully by next year we can, you know, hopefully get a single out there that's going to really speak to the masses. That's my dream.
You know, Marissa, you talk about coming out and stuff like that, and there are listeners that are checking in right now. They're still in the closet. Do you live for the day where we no longer have to stand in a closet?
Yeah, I mean, I will fight for that day, and I do live for that day every day. And, you know, it's sad that at this point, too, in 2020, we are still living in a time where, you know, people will still, like, you know, they could still get hurt, literally physically jumped, whatever, you know, if they actually came out, or if they're walking on the street with their partner, that they could actually get, you know, hurt, or, you know, get, I don't know, like, something had happened to them, like, even physically, but even emotionally, too, with families, like, people are so afraid to lose their families, and I was one of those people, you know, being a Catholic, a Italian person, you know, from Staten Island, it was like, you know, so taboo, like, what I did, everybody thought I was, like, I just lost my mind, and it wasn't, and I actually found myself, that was the whole thing. But I hope one day.
There's definitely growth, because I remember the days when my program directors and consultants would say, do not say that Elton John is gay. Do not say that Melissa Etheridge is gay. And you sit there and you go, why? Why? Because, I mean, it opens up the heart. It clears the soul. It shows that we're all united in this moment of great music.
Yeah, and I think music is what brings us together. It's that universal language that speaks to everybody. You know what I mean? Like, I'm able to, you know, talk to you in South Carolina and be able to, like, you know, talk to your fans and your listeners and tell them that, you know, it's okay to be who you are and to be brave and to keep going, you know, and to keep fighting. Like, I'm very blessed that in this time we are able to, you know, say that.
Speaking of that fight, at the age of 19, you said, I'm done. I'm burned out. Man, I'll tell you what, I've been doing radio in my bedroom all the way back to when I was 9 years old. And I've always feared that moment where I was like, okay, I'm done. How did you get through that storm? Because I fear that moment where I say, no, I'm walking. How did you get through that storm, and what brought you back?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So, when I was 19, that was when I got my first publishing deal. They were trying to shop me into a record deal. And at that point, you know, I was doing lessons in music since I was 3 years old, and I was in college for music, like the pre colleges in New York. I was in those by the time I was like 7, literally 16. So then at 16, I quit piano, and then decided, okay, but I still love music. I still want to write and do this stuff. So at 19, I went for the steel and moved down to Nashville. And then pretty much by the time I was 21, I was like, I realized I was gay, and I was like, okay, well, you know, nobody's accepting me right now. I think, and plus I'm just tired. You know, I was just tired. And, you know how the music business is. There is, with any business, I think, too, there's just a lot of politics involved, and I think I just wasn't ready for it all. But the love was always still there, and hence why I came back to it. But I was just like, I was just so frustrated with everything, and I just couldn't believe that because I came out that I pretty much lost everything. And I needed to find myself again in order to really, you know, pursue music again if I ever wanted to pursue it again.
I'm totally with you on that, because, you know, you ever find yourself, and I know you seem to be the person that has a lot of heart and soul for other people, and, you know, they'll come up to you and say, I want to do this in the music industry. Do you look at them and say, hey, can we have a conversation first about the reality of it all? Because I instruct broadcasters, future broadcasters, and our first day, I usually sit down with them and I say, we got to talk reality, because I want to know if you really have the heart to handle this. Have you had to do that too?
A little bit. You know, I don't want to, like, stomp on anybody's dreams, so to say. But, yeah, you want to give them a little bit of, you know, the dose of reality for sure. And kind of, you know, I've had, like, students of mine that, you know, I've taught in the past when I was in my 20s. In my mid-20s, I taught a lot of music. And so I was, you know, I had a lot of passionate things around me and, like, telling me their dreams. And I'm like, wait, that's great. I'm not a fan. I'm supposed to do that. You need to work. Like, I sacrificed my whole childhood to be where I am right now. You know, my parents sacrificed building their house. There's just a lot of sacrifice that you need to do in order to get what you want to be. Sometimes you can't always have your cake and eat it. There's a lot of sacrifice that goes along the way. And then, plus, even if you do that, you're still not guaranteed anything, especially in this business, the music business. It's the most popular business in the world. And, you know, it's a tough ride. You know, going through it and going in it. I'm still, you know, I'm 33. I'm still trying to, you know, get something right now. You know, I'm still trying to make it. I'm still, you know, it's tough. It's tough. It doesn't mean I'm not talented. It's just the name of the game, you know?
You know, you bring something up very interesting. I study Native American spirituality, and we're always taught that what we do today will affect the next 7 generations. The very fact that your parents sacrificed for you, that says a lot about the next 7 generations, because you're going to carry that energy forward.
Right. Oh, I love that. I just got chills when you said that. Wow. Yeah, I got to look into that.
Puts the pressure on you, doesn't it? It's like, okay, what am I going to do here? Hey, this isn't just about winning a contest. This is about making sure that everybody in the generations that follow me are going to be connected to their dreams.
That's right. Yeah, I mean, and if I could give that, you know, I mean, I don't have any children of my own, but if I can give that on a bigger level, like, you know, working with, you know, foundations and the LGBTQ community and working with, you know, community centers, you know, to make certain things more aware in certain communities. Like, I would, you know, I'm just using that as an example, but like, that to me, if I can be an activist, that's where I feel like I'm most fulfilled.
All of this quarantine time has gifted creative people like us with the opportunity to locate space. What did you fill it with? And there's no way that you're going to tell me that you had fear and doubt and stuff like that, because I don't hear that in your voice at all.
Oh, well, I've been through a lot in my life, and not, you know, I don't know, the quarantine thing, it's, you know, and the whole COVID thing, really, I mean, it gives me fear from my parents, because my parents are over 60 now. And my sister, Victoria, was supposed to get married, you know, last year, June 13th, and we had to cancel the wedding and make it for next September. And that's still not a guarantee that we can have the wedding that she wants to have. So the fear for me is, like, you know, making sure that when I go and visit my parents, which I intend to do for the Christmas holidays, you know, that I'm not putting them at risk and that I am safe. Like, those are the fears that I have. But, you know, I think as far as, like, you know, when COVID first hit, I worked at music houses around the country, and I was doing music. I mean, they have music for 7 days a week, which was an amazing gig that really, like, it honed in my chops. It, like, got me really strong as a musician. But March 16th actually was my first day of unemployment, and that was the scariest day of my life. I've, thank God, always been a full-time musician, and I've never, ever, ever asked for get money from anything. Like, as far as, like, paying my bills, I was always a hustler, and my parents always taught me that. Like, I never struggled as far as, like, you know, I needed unemployment. I was very lucky that way. So having to go on unemployment, I was grateful, but I was scared.
It's changing everybody. I mean, here I am in radio for 41 years, and I went on and I took on a part-time job at a grocery store at the cash register. Do you know how real people are? I love being with real people and to hear their stories. I mean, what is it about us creative people, about that connection with other people? I can't get enough of it.
I have the same way. I mean, that's how I, like, even, well, number one, I just want to give you credit for getting a job as a cashier in the middle of quarantine, and you're one of our essential workers. I mean, you working in a grocery store, that's amazing. So, number one, talk to you on that one. I always say, like, I need to have a dose of reality every single day, and, like, I refuse to, it's kind of like a rule for me, because I'm such an artist and musician that I have to date people. I have to date women that are totally not musicians and, like, totally, like, in a sense, normal people. So, like, that for me is, like, you know, my family is, like, pretty much normal on the ground. So, and I check in with them, like, at least once a day, if not more. And just, you know, having my feet on the ground is very important, actually, for me to be a well-rounded person. Because if I get too caught up in, like, my art and what I'm doing, I really lose touch, and I feel, like, so out of balance.
What a beautiful heart you've got. I hope I get to talk to you more and more in the future. This door is always going to be open for you.
Oh, thank you so much. That means the world to me. I hope to talk to you again, for sure, when I come out with some music.
Well, and I hope you come down here to the South so we can sit down and have a big old plate of Southern barbecue.
Okay, I'll take you up on that. Maybe I'll make some sauce.
There you go. Well, you be brilliant today, and enjoy your journey talking with all the talent across the nation this morning, okay?
Thank you so much. Thanks for your time. I had a blast. Thank you.